In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If Solomon had honored his father David as he should have, as he did earlier in his life, he would have had no problem later on. He would have not, even if he took for himself wives from amongst those whom the Lord said, "You shall not do this thing," if he had at least honored his father and what his father had taught him, he would not have built high places and altars and offered sacrifices to demons. Clearly, this is what Paul has in the back of his mind as he writes to the Corinthians. It's not that he has to cite the example of Solomon verbatim to them, but that this is a constant warning for the people of God. That is to say, we must constantly be on guard against the lusts and desires of the flesh to say, "I know better than God," that I would have things my way, that God's way works so long as it works for me. No, Solomon, there is no harmony between Christ and Satan. There is nothing in common with a believer and an unbeliever. Solomon, first and foremost, of course, should have heeded the word of God, who said to him, "You shall not do such a thing." He should have catechized his wives. If he would not listen to the word of the Lord in that regard, then he should have catechized them and served as an example to them, but not let his heart be wavered in these things. Now, of course, we don't build altars. We don't offer sacrifices to demons. But what do we do? What things do we do contrary to the Word of God and in the despising of what our parents have taught us? How easily do the excuses for skipping the divine service on Sunday morning flow from our mind to our lips? How easily do we hold grudges? How easily do we make an idol of the self and of the things that we have accomplished and of the things that we have done and what people think of us? This is probably the root of Solomon's error, that God had blessed him with such exquisite wisdom as far surpassed that of any man. And he made an idol of himself, saying, "I am the one who is wise. I determine what is good and what is right and what is good and what is foolish. I have decided these things." And so he decided for himself that it was better to keep peace in his house amongst these many wives rather than to heed the word of the Lord and to honor his father. Let it not be this way among us. Let us forsake any thought. Let us forsake any arrogance or pride that would put us in the place of God. Let us honor our fathers in the faith and the things that they have handed down to us in their teaching, in their preaching, in the liturgy, and in the hymns of the church. Let us honor the parents to whom God has given us, who have instructed us in the way that we should go, who brought us to baptism, who brought us for catechesis, who have brought us to the Lord's altar, that we may cling steadfastly to those things that we have learned from our childhood and indeed, for most of us, from our infancy. Let us forsake all those things which would displace God from within our hearts and our minds and our souls. As that lawyer asked Jesus in Sunday's gospel this past Sunday, when Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law, how do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." But he, desiring to justify himself further, asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who's the one that I have to love? Who's the one that I have to serve? And then, of course, our Lord Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, that he himself is the one who comes down out of heaven to bear in his own body all of our afflictions, to bear in himself our brokenness, the wounds which we have suffered at the hands of Satan and his horde, that beat us with temptation, that beat us with lust, that beat us with envy, that beat us with disobedience, that lead us to despise God's law. He is the one who has mercy, love, and compassion bursting up from within his insides, so that he bandages us up, places us upon his own animal, and brings us into the inn of his holy Christian and apostolic church, where he gives everything needed for our care. This is why St. Paul can say that now is the day of salvation. Now, today, is the day in which to hear. Today is the day of visitation. This is the acceptable time. Because now is the time to flee from those things which would cause us to not believe God's word. Or as Luther sums it up in the Catechism, to flee from those things which would lead us into false belief and into despair and into other great shame and vice. Let Solomon be an example to you in this, in the negative, not as one worthy of emulation, but from those things which we must flee, from those things which we must guard against, and flee to the Word of God and to prayer. Because if there is nothing that you know for certain, it is the Word of God is sure and certain. It is concrete, it is bedrock, and nothing will take it from you. Nothing will supplant it. Nothing will prove it false. So if everything else in your life, everything else in your mind and in your heart seems uncertain and unsure, discipline that flesh by fleeing to the Word of God. Return to your baptism. Flee to the Holy Communion. Because now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Not only is it the day of repentance, but it is the day on which Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will forgive your sins, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness." In this coming Sunday's Gospel, we'll hear the well-known story of the 10 lepers, only one of which, a Samaritan, comes to give thanks to God and to glorify God in Christ. And Jesus dismisses him, saying, "Your faith has saved you." Not that you knew it was a good idea and that it was perhaps practical and wise to call out to me for mercy. Not that you went and you started to go to show yourselves to the priests, but that you believe that I myself am the one who brings cleansing, who brings healing, who brings salvation through my flesh and by my blood offered up once for all. This is why it is now is the acceptable time in the day of salvation, because now is the day when the fruits of the Holy Cross are administered to us in preaching and at the font and at the altar, that we may hear and believe, that all our doubts, cares, concerns, anxieties, whatever it is, would be washed away and taken away, lifted from us, that all those idols which would seek to supplant Christ would be torn down, smashed to bits, and cast out, that the way would be barred by the Holy Spirit, who bars the way with his 7-fold gifts, that our lips would be given no occasion to blaspheme, that our bodies would be given no occasion to sin, that our minds would be given no occasion to dwell on those things which are not fitting for the people of God. Now is the time. Now is the day. Now is the day when Jesus is here in his church for your sake, administering through his ministers the gifts he won by his suffering and death, that you may partake of his death, and so also partake of his resurrection, even as he is now already risen from the dead, interceding on your behalf before his Father in heaven. Do not be like Solomon. Do not give in to the whims and fancies and fads of men. Be built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, who builds you up, who forms you to himself in word and sacrament, that he may bring you into his eternal kingdom, which will not crumble, which will not be taken away, and which will have no end. In Jesus' name, amen.